This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Today, we remember Andrea Harris, the co-founder of the North Carolina Institute of Minority Economic Development. She died Wednesday at the age of 72. She led the Institute for more than two decades, and she acted as an advocate and mentor for many, many people. Lou Myers is the interim president and CEO of Downtown Durham Incorporated. He co-founded the Institute with Andrea Harris and joins us now. Lou, welcome to The State of Things.
Thank you, Frank. Good afternoon.
Good to have you here. And Anita Brown Graham is a professor of public law and government at the UNC Chapel Hill School of Government. Anita, welcome.
Good to be with you, always.
And we should mention that you're also director of the NC Impact Initiative. Lou, a lot of people knew Andrea from her work with the Institute, but you met her many years before that. How did you get to know her?
I met her in 1971. I moved to Warren County to work with Floyd McKissick at Soul City, and Andrea was in Henderson, about 10 miles away. I was just pleased to have the opportunity to meet her. We had come down, and some folk were trying to introduce the few of us that were living there, and I met Andrea, and we immediately just sort of hit it. We were both, I guess, what you would call young Turks, and we wanted to change the world. I was going to try and do that originally through education, and then Floyd told me to be into economic development, which I did. And Andrea started out as a teacher, and then she ran the community action agency, Franklin Vance Warren Opportunity, Inc. So being in a rural area, we just spent a lot of time together and scheming on what we would do and how we were going to get things done. And I asked Andrea to come work at Soul City, and I was a day late in doing that. But I knew then that Andrea was just what I call a star. She was just a special person.
Well, very young. You talked about her being in Henderson, where she grew up in that rural area of North Carolina. And she at a very early age began to take a look at economic opportunities and relieving poverty right there. And that quickly grew. I mean, talk about her first steps and that first job in Henderson and how that grew into a three-county position and then ultimately to the Institute.
Well, yeah, Andrea started out as a teacher, then went to Franklin Vance Warren, and that was one of the OEO community action agencies under Johnson's Great Society program. But they did Head Start programs. They did work with the elderly. They did summer feeding programs. They were just trying to make an impact. And Andrea was, I think, 22 when she started that. But that was her passion to make a change. So she did that for, I think, 6 years. And then she, in doing that, understanding senior citizens were not being, quote, taken care of. She and Inez Miles created the North Carolina Senior Citizens Federation, and she worked in three or four states advocating for senior citizens. In 1981, after I was in state government, my first opening, I hired Andrea to come work for me, convinced her that she needed to get into the economic development field and really needed her because Andrea is what we would call a warrior.
A warrior in many ways who attracted many people to her and taught many, many people along the way. Anita Brown Graham, Andrea never had children, but she certainly had many mentees. You were among them. How was she as a mentor?
So it's interesting. There are a lot of mentorship relationships where you spend time talking about the relationship. The person either offers to be your mentor or you ask the person. Andrea and I never had a conversation about mentorship ever. She decided she would be a mentor, and that was the end of it. And that meant, of course, that Andrea would give you plenty of love, but she would also give you plenty of her mind. And if there is anything I will miss most about her, it is if she ever thought that you should have done something that you did not do, she would not hesitate to call you up and just let you know that.
And is it true she chose you? You didn't choose her?
She absolutely chose me, which is probably one of the greatest honors of my life.
How did
Frank, didn't actually know I needed a mentor, but it turned out I not only did I need a mentor, I needed her as a mentor.
What do you think she's looking for? What were those qualities that she was trying to identify? If you assume that you're not the only one that she chose, because I know that she had many people she influenced.
She had many, indeed. I think Andrea was always looking for people who had passion for the things she cared about. And she was also looking for people who would work really hard. And then she was going to turn your passion into competence, and she was going to make sure that the work that you did was excellent always. And all across North Carolina and beyond, there are people who benefited from her stewardship.
Lou Myers, what's her background? Where did she come from? What was her family like?
Andrea's father was a dentist in Henderson, her mother an educator, and she had a brother. So I guess she had certainly an upper middle class kind of upbringing, but she didn't feel privileged in any kind of way. Andrea just worked hard, as Anita said, and she was just compassionate. If there was a need, Andrea wanted to figure out how to solve that need. And I suspect that just growing up and being in among the community and coming from somewhat of a prominent family, she just made her mark and understood that she could help people.
Well, that was one of the things that I had read, was that she had a real sense of responsibility about the advantages that she had and felt a responsibility to really share those and make sure she brought people along with her.
She absolutely did. I think that that was part of the mentoring that you and Anita were talking about. But she was always looking for, you know, bright, talented folk that could make a difference. And, you know, as we said up there, she would train you up, and then she expected you to go and perform. And one of the things I think that everybody I talked to knows, Andrea, you didn't want that call about, Lou, I told you to do this, and it hasn't happened. You did not want that call.
What did you do when you got that call, Lou? What do you do next? Because, you know, you didn't do it for a reason, and now you get the call. What do you do now?
you figure, okay, Andrea, I'm going to get on it immediately, and this is what I'm going to do. And while she would get on your case, and that was important, she was understanding, because she knew that we all were carrying heavy loads trying to do this work, which we, you know, mission-driven folk think we have to save the world. So, but she was compassionate even with those of us who oftentimes or sometimes disappointed her.
So Lou is talking about, Anita, Lou's talking about, of course, once you become the disciple, you know, when you get the phone call, how well you knew her and what to expect. What about first impressions? What kind of impression, you know, did she make on people as she moved into various environments where she was successful, Anita?
You know, Frank, it was fun to watch Andrea walk into a room of people who knew her only by reputation. You could almost see how surprised people were at how small her stature, her physical stature was, because her aura was so much bigger. She really was a tiny giant.
She was somebody certainly who benefited by her own persona and personality, but also by her education. She went to Bennett College herself and was a strong advocate for HBCUs. Let's hear her talk about why she fought for the rights and advancement of HBCUs.
The impact of higher education can never be understated or undervalued because it is the single most important factor to access to opportunity. North Carolina has 10 HBCUs today, more four-year HBCUs than any other state in the nation. And when you look at HBCUs and people want to know, well, are they still of value? Then I would say, if you look at the fact that 80% of all black judges are graduates of HBCUs, 60% of all black doctors and dentists are graduates of HBCUs, over half of all of the black teachers are graduates of HBCUs, majority of the faculty members who are African American on predominantly white campuses are graduates of HBCUs. So you can go up and down the list. And is it of value? Absolutely.
That's Andrea Harris, co-founder of the North Carolina Institute of Minority Economic Development. She died last Wednesday at the age of 72. I'm remembering her today with Lou Myers and Anita Brown Graham. Anita, what was the relationship that Andrea had with Bennett College?
Andrea adored Bennett College. She really believed that Bennett set not just her, but so many of her contemporaries on a path toward leadership. And she was committed that Bennett would continue to do the same for generations of young women to come. So as Lou knows, Andrea talked me last year into facilitating a re-engineering committee for Bennett College. And at the time she called and asked me if I would do it, I pointed out to her I had not been to a small private HBCU. I had not been to a women's college. I wasn't sure that I would have the credibility to do it. And as was her way, she said, So the first meeting is going to be on May 1, and that was the end of the conversation. Every single person who sat on that reengineering committee, many of whom are national leaders with unbelievable schedules, came to that cause because Andrea Harris picked up the phone and asked them to do it. And it was sort of her way of paying it forward that made it so hard for anybody anywhere, including myself, to really ever say no to her.
So, Lou, how did you and Andrea decide to start the Institute together? It was 1986, right?
Yes, she came to work for me in 81 in state government, and I was assistant secretary and directing the minority business program in the Commerce Department. And we wanted to have a goals program, a way to increase opportunities for minority women-owned businesses. And I went to the General Assembly and did not make a good impression, came back and said, Andrea, we need to have data. We are not going to win this on just, you know, we believe this, we need data. So that was the genesis of it. And so we pulled it together. And then one of the big tasks, of course, was getting our board together. So we said, you know, we need somebody prominent. So we talked and I said, well, why not John Hope Franklin? I mean, if you're going to go big time, let's start at the top. So we were scared, quite honestly, because we couldn't answer the question, why would John Hope risk his reputation with Andrea and I on this new thing that had no money and a lot of ideas? We went to dinner, took him to his favorite Chinese restaurant across from Brightley, and we talked. And he said, yes. And you talk about two folk. We were cool until he got in his car. And then we just acted like we won the national championship. So that gave us confidence that the Institute would work. But we needed a think tank to deal with policy issues because of the dearth of information about small businesses in general and minority-owned firms in particular. This was 1980s, and it was still the buffalo hunt. You know, nobody was really interested in small business.
Makes me nostalgic for a time when data and information was the thing that moved public policy. But I want to listen to Andrea speak about the decision to actually locate that institute in Durham, the home of Black Wall Street.
When some of us started, when we started the Institute for Minority Economic Development, we located it on Parrott Street intentionally. We recognized that in North Carolina, in America, and the South in particular, we had these two worlds emerging, those who were getting richer and richer and poorer, and there was this growing divide. And if the two most common means of wealth creation are home ownership or business ownership and development, then we got to start to focus on that more. So how do we, again, you know, help to grow businesses? And so let's start right here.
Andrea Harris, co-founder of the North Carolina Institute of Minority Economic Development. She died last week on Wednesday, in fact, at the age of 72. And I'm here with Lou Myers, interim president and CEO of Downtown Durham Incorporated, and Anita Brown Graham, a professor of public law and government at the UNC Chapel Hill School of Government. Location meant a lot to her, Lou. She used to hold or held conferences in Pinehurst, North Carolina, on a regular basis. Talk about that decision.
Well, that was, we had... the point was that people do business with people that they know. And because of structural segregation, Black entrepreneurs didn't get a chance to meet many white business folk. And we knew that, you know, Pinehurst was a major attraction. So we started in 85. We called it the Golf and Tennis Weekend and then changed it to the Executive Networking Conference. But we would have CEOs across the state. We would have minority business folk across the state. And we would go there and network and play golf and play tennis. But it created the opportunities for folk to meet and, you know, people do business with people that they know.
Anita, give us a sense of the legacy of Andrea and what she left in North Carolina and really our nation.
You know, I'll get to go back to Pinehurst and say something about that, the legacy of that. It was always very interesting to me to be in Pinehurst and to interact with the staff and to recognize how proud they felt of the diversity of the crowd that Andrea had brought to the establishment. And that's what she was all about. She was about finding ways to inspire other people to not just be the best that they could be, but to do the best that they could do for others.
Talking today to Anita Brown Graham, a professor of public law and government at the UNC Chapel Hill School of Government, and Lou Myers, interim president and CEO of Downtown Durham Incorporated. Thank you both for sharing your thoughts and your memories.
Thanks for having us, Frank.